Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Mark Wright of National Review is in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have bad, bad, and bad martinis for the second consecutive Friday in response to both the Republican National Convention speech from their nominee and the Democrats from their nominee. A collection of six bad martinis in total. Mark, I need to put out a disclaimer at the beginning here. There's going to be quite a bit of audio from former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. National Review, Radio America, and Ricochet are not responsible for the condition of your eardrums following the conclusion of these sound bites, and we are not to be held liable in any way. Nonetheless, we hope you stick with us.
I just want to warn everyone out there to hide the women and the children as we go through these clips.
It's unavoidable today because on Thursday night, Hillary Clinton, of course, accepted the Democratic presidential nomination. And now let's get into the horrible martinis, starting with the economy. Hillary's got a very ambitious agenda, and it all involves investment.
In my first 100 days, we will work with both parties to pass the biggest investment in new good-paying jobs since World War II. Bernie Sanders and I will work together to make college tuition free for the middle class and debt-free for all. We will also liberate millions of people who already have student debt.
And she wasn't done. There's a major job training program for people who don't go to college. She also wants to make it easier to get loans for people who don't have great credit. What could possibly go wrong there, Mark? We haven't seen any problems with that in the last decade. But if you're wondering, how's this all going to get paid for? Relax. Hillary's got it covered.
We're not only going to make all of these investments, we're going to pay for every single one of them. And here's how. Wall Street, corporations, and the super rich are going to start paying their fair share of taxes.
A massive tax hike. So this whole effort that Hillary and others made this week, Mark, to make it look like they're the more reasonable ones, that even Republicans should get on board. Same old knee-jerk liberalism, taxing and spending on a country where the corporate tax rate is already the highest in the industrialized world. The fact that she wants to pile onto that just smacks like the more Obama stimulus spending with a massive tax increase thrown in too. Yay.
You'd think, listening to her speech, that there hasn't been a Democratic administration these last 8 years.
Yeah. Right.
You'd almost think that there wasn't a trillion-dollar investment stimulus bill from 2009. I mean, where did all that money go? What have we been doing these last 8 years? It seems that her speech would have been much more effective if she would have been challenging a incumbent Republican administration, saying, these are all the things we need to fix. We're in a really horrible spot in the economy. We need to do all these investments and spending to fix things. But hey, who's been in charge these last 8 years? Isn't that her good friend over there that spoke last night or two nights ago, Barack Obama?
She did not mention him much at all, other than a couple times just in the beginning in a perfunctory way to thank all the major speakers. There was no linking herself to the Obama legacy, which is exactly what she did once Bernie Sanders started getting going. That's how she did so well in the Deep South, especially among black voters and so forth. She separated herself big time from that in an effort to try and fool people in the middle and on the right. We'll see if it works, but a major shift from her primary strategy for sure. All right, on to the second bad martini, and this is dealing with national security. I'm guessing most conservatives aren't going to be shocked to find out that Hillary Clinton's plan to keep America safe is exactly the same as Barack Obama's plan to keep America safe. Let's first of all start with immigration and border security.
We will not build a wall. Instead, we will build an economy where everyone who wants a good job can get one. And we'll build a path to citizenship for millions of immigrants who are already contributing to our economy.
Mark, I guess when they put illegal immigrants who are evading deportation on the stage at the convention, it's probably not a huge shock that they would not be all that insistent on making sure that our immigration laws are followed. When it comes to the fight against ISIS, see if this language sounds familiar.
We will strike their sanctuaries from the air and support local forces taking them out on the ground. We will surge our intelligence so we detect and prevent attacks before they happen. We will disrupt their efforts online to reach and radicalize young people in our country. It won't be easy or quick, but make no mistake, we will prevail.
That's exactly the Obama approach. We're using everything we can. We're doing everything we can. Devastating assaults that a lot of current and former military experts say, if we really wanted to step it up, this bombing campaign could have succeeded a long time ago. So on the national security front, Mark, she didn't say Barack Obama's name, but once again, it's exactly the same policy.
Yeah, Greg, Hillary's pitch last night was very simple. If you think things have been going well, vote for me. And I just have to look around, and I don't think there's very many Americans out there on the right or the left, or the broad middle of this country, who think things have been going well. We're in a situation where there's a terrorist attack in Europe every third day. There's been several terrorist attacks in the United States, killing many Americans. Is accelerating the pace under the Obama administration. The Middle East is on fire. As far as immigration goes, most Americans think that we have a broken system. But if you like that, if you think it's been going well, Hillary Clinton is promising we're just going to continue the policies of the Obama administration. It's really amazing that she's campaigning on the status quo, because people aren't very happy with it.
It's always annoying and exhausting, Mark, for conservatives to watch the Democratic National Convention, because they know they're largely seeing fiction played out on the stage and a lot of assaults against the Republican nominee. The good thing in the past, though, is that we know that the assaults aren't true. And if people just get the facts in front of them, they'll be able to see that the Republican nominee actually has a pretty strong record, and they'll actually be able to refute the charges, and everyone will find out, or at least enough people will find out, that this was just a smear attempt. This year's Republican presidential nominee is Donald Trump, and Hillary Clinton had a number of smears against Trump last night, but a number of them are the very same ones we were saying on the campaign trail during the Republican primary season. She went after Trump for making all of his Trump products in other countries, or at least a great number of them, and then when talking about national security, she went here.
You really think Donald Trump has the temperament to be commander-in-chief? Donald Trump can't even handle the rough and tumble of a presidential campaign. He loses his cool at the slightest provocation. When he's gotten a tough question from a reporter, when he's challenged in a debate, when he sees a protester at a rally, imagine him in the Oval Office facing a real crisis. A man you can bait with a tweet is not a man we can trust with nuclear weapons.
Now, of course, what Hillary Clinton is leaving out there, Mark, is that the world is literally on fire as a result of her time as Secretary of State. Every single place on the map that she touched is exponentially worse, from Iraq to Syria, Libya, throughout the Arab Spring, relations with Russia, they're just pushing us over now, and on and on and on. Everything that she's dealt with has gotten substantially worse. But when she talks about things like that about Donald Trump, it's true. And that's perhaps the most depressing part about this from a conservative perspective, is when the Republican nominee is actually guilty of slings and arrows like this.
There's another angle to this, too. Jonah Goldberg over here at National Review wrote about the Democrats' crying wolf problem. If you look at every presidential election going back 30 years, what has been the Democrats' line of attack? They've said that the Republican nominee is an out-of-touch plutocrat, maybe a little bit dangerous, possibly racist and unstable and misogynist, and we can't trust this guy with the Oval Office. Well, they made that critique about, you know, down the middle guys like Mitt Romney and guys on the left side of the Republican Party like John McCain. And so now when they're saying this about a guy who it actually happens to be maybe true when it comes to Donald Trump, most Americans tune this out. They think that, well, we hear this from Democrats every 4 years. Why should we take it seriously this time? But this time it does happen to be, you know, true that, you know, the Democrats are saying that the Republican nominee might be dangerous out there in the world, and that it's too tough of a job to have a guy who, you know, isn't in it for the little man. But we're in a situation now where we're out of good options because of the Republican Party's decision to nominate Trump. And on the other hand, Trump might be able to get away with it because he can push back on. He can just say that the Democrats say this every 4 years.
Yeah, I guess the best Trump comeback there is that you don't know for sure that I would be a miserable failure on the foreign stage. We know for a fact Hillary Clinton would be, because she already has been. Not necessarily the best, strongest contrast, but given that this is largely going to be a negative attack type of general election campaign, that might be the most effective thing they can do on that front.
The American people are going to be forced to pick their poison this fall, and they will drink the poison and they will like it. That is what the two parties are telling us. We are out of good options.
I'm not sure they have to like it. Mark, I don't know how much – I'm guessing you watched quite a bit of both convention weeks, perhaps one more than the other. One of the most depressing things, and we've already discussed several depressing things, is that after the Republican convention, I was never more negative towards the idea of Donald Trump being president. And after this week, I've never been more negative towards the idea of Hillary Clinton being president. So maybe I'm the anomaly here, but I think both of them failed miserably on that front, largely because, as we talked about earlier in the week, these are both such known commodities.
You know, it's a very interesting situation when both parties' best pitch is don't elect the other guy. They are terrible. That's where we stand, though, today. I think the broad mass of the American public would prefer another option. But, you know, even our third options are, you know, if you look at Gary Johnson, libertarian, he had come out with some, you know, pretty soft comments on defending religious liberty last night. And Jill Stein of the Green Party is not acceptable to most Americans. So if you are looking for a principled alternative to vote for president, you might have to write in somebody this fall. That might be what we're down to.
If there is a good martini at the end of the day, or at least a good chaser here, Mark, the conventions are over. You and I
are over, and the end is in sight. 3 months from now, we will not have to worry about politics. At least for a few days, we can all, you know, roll under the covers and have the politicians go away for a couple of days.
Well, we'll see what kind of bump, if any, Hillary gets out of it. Trump says he got a bounce like nobody's ever gotten a bounce before. So we'll see what the numbers look like. Rest up this weekend. Mark, thanks very much for pinch hitting for Jim the last few days.
Oh, no problem. I enjoyed it.
Mark Wright of National Review in for Jim Garrity. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim will be back on Monday. Please join us then for the next Three Martini Lunch.